Okay. Exodus chapter 4. Sometimes I wonder what the difference between preaching and teaching is. Perhaps teaching involves a little more in-depth study of the Word and words, careful study, more than just a declaration of the gospel, but maybe involves our head a little more. I don't know. It's hard to distinguish the difference. This study, though, may show the difference. It's a very difficult portion. If you read it, if you know it, it's a difficult portion to deal with. And only this morning, I believe, did I really get some real light on it. Different commentators differed on this, and Christ has got to be in it. So the thing about God's Word is it's written to us, and it's like the Psalms. David is talking, or Moses, throughout the Psalms, and yet at times, many times, if not most times, it could be our Lord speaking it. Spurgeon said it's hard to discern the difference between our Lord speaking and his people speaking. But the fact is, as he is, so are we. So this involves Moses, who's just a man, and yet Moses represents our Lord. Look at verse 18. Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, "Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt. See whether they be yet alive." And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Later on, the Lord gave Moses 10 commandments, along with the rest of the law. The fifth commandment, which is the first commandment regarding man. The first four are unto God, you know. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath." The fifth commandment is the first one to man, and it begins, "Honor thy father and thy mother." That's the first commandment that he gives us. Honor thy father and thy mother. Paul brought that up in Ephesians 6. He said, "The children, obey your parents in the Lord." This is the first promise, a first commandment with promise. It says that it may be well with you the length of day. That's what the command says. And Paul even emphasized that. Moses is an 80-year-old man. You don't answer your parents at 80 years old. Yes, he did, didn't he? He honored his father-in-law. He went to him and asked leave of him to go and see about his brethren. He respected his elders, didn't he? Respected his elders. The last days are described in 2 Timothy 3 this way: disobedient to parents. There's never been a generation of children with no regard for authority. In fact, they're taught and even encouraged to act up, disobey, question authority, rebel. Right? Don't you? Don't teach your children that. I know you don't. But what about Christ here? Didn't Christ, with the Father in a covenant before the world began, say God the Father was going to send Christ the Son to see about his brethren, like David was sent to see about his brethren, see if they'd be alive? No, they weren't alive when Christ came. They're all dead. He came to give life. So that's a picture. And it says in verse 18, Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." God sent Christ to make peace by the blood of his cross. So now, but surely this is also a picture of every man and woman, or young person for that matter, who has heard Christ's voice and follow him, They will leave their father and their mother and their home and their family for Christ to be with their brethren, their family. That's what our Lord did. He said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? This is my family. That's who I came for. Read the last article in our bulletin, second to last article. Christ and his people are synonymous. You can't love Christ and not love his people. You can't be joined to Christ and not be joined to his people. Right? He's the head, we're the body. So, and that's how you know. Christ said, by this shall all men know, you're my disciple. But Moses chose to go. He didn't. God sent him, but he chose, didn't he? Which happened first? Well, you know what happened first. Moses didn't even know God, did he? Till he met him at the burning bush. But then when he met the Lord, he was, I'll go see about my brethren. He was concerned about his brethren. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, rather, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He'd rather be called a son of God than a son of Pharaoh. How about you? He went to see about his brethren. I'm glad to see you this morning. You okay? Good. And we're not too okay. But you're okay, aren't you? We're here, aren't we? You glad to see me? I hope so. Moses was glad. Look down at verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, when Aaron sees you, go. He comes forth to meet you. When he sees you, he's going to be glad. He's going to be glad to see you. Well, haven't they seen each other recently? Well, not too recently. Didn't I just see you Wednesday night? Yeah, but. How long can you go without seeing your loved one? Huh? How long? Verse 19. The Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. But was Moses afraid? You remember the first time he was, someone saw him kill that Egyptian and he fled. Was he afraid to go? You know, the Lord was sending him to let his people go, to speak to all these people. They rejected him the first time. Is he afraid? Am I afraid to come and stand before you? You're my brethren. Now, you better not approach this without some fear. No man should approach this heavy, weighty task without fear. You have no confidence in the flesh. I've been doing this a long time now. If any man thinks he knows anything, if Paul said we preach in part, we know in part, where's that leave me? So Moses was afraid, and the Lord is encouraging him. The Lord encourages him. The Lord knows our fears. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that the Lord exposed the fears of Abraham. Abraham had a beautiful wife, and he was always afraid somebody's going to take her. I've got a beautiful wife. But seriously, he denied her twice. He was afraid. David, he acted like an idiot, didn't he, one time? He was so afraid. I'm so glad that the Lord wrote those things down. Because I'm fearful. Sometimes I'm a coward. Anybody? Everybody. So David said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Just that. So the Lord is encouraging Moses. The thing our Lord said to his disciples more than any other, he said, fear not. He was constantly telling them, fear not. Surely after 2 or 3 years of seeing his power and seeing his protective care and the faith he gave them and the ability that he gave them, surely they'd be courageous and bold. Ask Simon Peter. He denied the Lord three times. Twice before a young girl. So the Lord is encouraging. I remember reading when I was a young believer and just starting to preach a little. I thought I was preaching. I read Isaiah 51 where he says, "Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? The son of man is grass. Who are you to be afraid of a man? And forget the Lord thy maker." I've never forgotten that. Never forgotten that. Isaiah 51. Well, verse 20, Moses took his wife and his son, set them upon an ass. He returned to the land of Egypt. They didn't go with him. And understand, this is difficult. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The Old Testament Hebrew, and I've got an interlinear Bible that's written in Hebrew. It's exactly worded exactly the way it was written. You can't hardly read it. It's so, those of you who have one know what I'm talking about. You read from right to left in Hebrew. It's so totally different from the English language. Okay? And sometimes it seems disjointed to us. It's not to God, but it seems that way to us. Okay? Later on, something happened in the inn. Well, I believe it was when he's taking his wife and sons back to Jethro to leave them with Jethro, and then he goes to Egypt because they were not with him when they took the Passover. Because it says that Jethro brought them to Moses after they left Egypt. Okay, so they were staying with his father-in-law. But so he took his wife and his son, set them on an ass, and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. The Lord gave him this rod. It was a shepherd's staff because he kept the flock of Jethro. It was the staff that he had when he was being a shepherd. That's fitting. He said he took that rod in his hand. Now, God's word is this rod. God's word is staff, shepherd's staff. Thy rod, David knew a lot about a rod and a staff. He had one. All of God's men had one. But Moses had one and gave it to Aaron. You know, Aaron's the one that took the staff and did it. He said, "Stretch out the rod, Aaron." He's the one. But, because he's the high priest. But Moses took this rod in his hand. The rod is God's word, the staff, the shepherd's staff. It's his power. It's God's power. All thing. Moses did everything he did by this rod, with this rod. And so does our Lord. He upholds all things. He created all things by his word. He upholds all things by his word. He smites the enemies by his word. He parts the Red Sea by his word. He smites a rock. He gives bread from heaven. It's all by the word of God. God doesn't have to literally do anything. Just speak the word. Now that's sovereignty. That's power. That's power. So he took this rod. Christ came, the rod. He is the rod, the word of God. He came with God's word. Our Lord was armed with one thing, the word of God, like a sharp two-edged sword out of his mouth. Slew his enemies and slew his people and healed them at the same time. So he came. Now Moses, if he had stayed in Egypt, if he'd have stayed in Egypt, he would have been the next Pharaoh. He's Pharaoh's daughter. Son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was in line to be the next Pharaoh. We read that all of Egypt, he was skilled in wisdom and knowledge and languages of Egypt, school in the best schools. If he stayed there, he would have been on the throne in Egypt and he would have had a scepter. Wouldn't it? He'd have had a scepter, some little stick. Some little stick that he'd held and done this in pretense of power. And in that man, there have been rulers all over the world, they've had scepters, king, I dub thee. Man thinks he wields some power. Man has his little scepters, and man has his power, he thinks, like Pilate. Don't you know I have power over you? Christ is the power of God. The Word is God's power. He upholds all things. Man has no power at all over anything or anyone. Do you understand? Fear not. I will not fear, David said, what man can do unto me. Whatever man does to me, God sent him to do it. He's God's sword. So, Moses would rather have had the rod of God than the scepter of Pharaoh. How about you? He chose to be poor. He could have been rich. What a picture that is of our Lord, who was rich yet for our sake. Moses did this for God's people's sake, and so did our Lord. Now, surely Moses is going to meet with someone that he knew in Egypt, someone he grew up with. You reckon? Sure he did. We went back to Ashland for my 40th reunion, and I hadn't been there since my 10th. It's 30 years. And I saw some people I hadn't seen in 30 years. And one lady said to me, I can't believe you're a preacher. I said, I can't either. But don't you know there's some people that knew Moses when he was there and thought, Moses, why did you leave all of this? Are you a fool, Moses? For leaving, look, this is Egypt, man. Why would you leave all of this to wander in the wilderness with these bunch of slaves? Huh? That's the grace of God, what it is. God's going to smite Egypt, isn't it? He's going to smite Egypt. His people are going to live. They're going to live. Moses knew that. The Lord showed him. The Lord spared him. So, you know, Peter said, you go, the time past of our life sufficed us to wrought the will of the Gentile. We walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine, revelings and banquets and abominable idolatry. Some of my old cronies that I grew up with, that we got into everything together, my buddies, you know. They saw me after 30 years. And this is what Peter said. They think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of pride, speaking evil of you. He's crazy. He's a fool. Yeah. Paul said we're fools for Christ's sake. But who's a fool? Who's a real fool? So what a blessing to be taken out of Egypt. And be content, yea, choose rather to wander with a bunch of nobodies. Be rich in faith. Verse 21, the Lord said to Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. See that thou do all these wonders. What was it? Three things. He told him to do it. See that you do these three things. Show these three signs. Didn't it? What was it? The rod made a serpent. What are we to do? What am I to do every time I stand up here? One thing. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must Christ be lifted up. And I must lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to thee. I want you to be drawn to Christ. I want you to come to Christ. Well, how's that going to happen? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Leprous hand. That's Christ being made sin. The water turned to blood. We better find the blood in here. Whatever you read, whatever you see, you better, there's some blood in it. Bring it out, preacher. Bring it out. I told these fellas, if you don't feel like you have any liberty, just holler, blood. Blood. Do all these wonders. What if Moses thought, well, that's fine, but if I had a big spaghetti dinner, they'd all come. I just slip it in on them. If I had a bake sale or a spaghetti dinner, or, you know, bring them all together and they'd see that I'm a good old boy and we love them and all that, and then tell them the truth. See that you do all these things. See that you do one thing. One thing. Go, speak, preach. Thus saith the Lord. Verse 22, thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. That's what we do, isn't it? Thus saith the Lord. Preach the word, Timothy. In season, out of season. It's out of season now. And the word, the gospel is the power of God. Still is. Always has been. Always will be. Thus saith the Lord. Here's what he said in verse 22. Israel's my son. My firstborn. He told him that Pharaoh would harden his heart, didn't he? Go do these wonders, but I'll harden his heart. Then what's the use? What's the use in preaching? Doesn't it, the scripture say that God blinds men's minds and hardens their heart, doesn't it? Lest they should see. Isaiah 6 says that. Doesn't it? What's the use in preaching? If only the elect will be saved. You know, only the elect are going to be saved. That's right. So what's the use in preaching? Men are hard and they're not going to hear you. Now, what's the use? Well, number one, God said to. Didn't he? Go, Moses. Show these signs. He's not going to believe you. But do it anyway. Somebody's going to. But he's not. And number two, the reason we preach the gospel in spite of men's unbelief and all that is we preach the truth so that all people are accountable for it. Paul said, have they not all heard? Yes, verily. Well, what does that make the word of God of no effect? Mm-mm. You see, we preach the gospel, we preach the truth. All people hear it. Romans 1 said the things of God are clearly seen and everybody's without excuse. It says they're all accountable. They're all without excuse. Things are clearly seen. His eternal power and his Godhead, the invisible thing. And when they knew God, when they see something of the hand of God, the creative power of God, something of the glory of God, it says they glorified him not as God. They were not thankful, became vain in their imagination, their foolish hearts were darkened, they professed themselves to be wise, they became fool, changed the glory of God, and went on from worse to worse. They're accountable. They see clearly. So man is totally accountable to his Creator. Nobody can say, it's not my fault. Nobody can say, well, I didn't know. Yeah, he did. See that Bible that's sitting on your shelf with all that dust all over it? It's going to rise up into judgment against you. So we need to lay the blame squarely on our own shoulders, don't we? That's how we need to come to God. And that's how we do come to God. When God comes to us, that's how we come to God, guilty. I've lived all my life without giving God a thought. I'm guilty. I wasn't thankful. How foolish am I imagining? Oh, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. And he does. So he says in verse 22, Israel is my firstborn. I like this. Israel's my son, my firstborn. Oh, the sovereignty and the sovereign love of God. Nothing can change it, and I'm glad. Egypt doesn't like it. Israel does. The world doesn't like it. God's people do. Esau didn't like it. Boy, Jacob did. He said, Jacob have I loved. Fear not, Jacob, thou art. You're mine. Don't you love God's sovereign electing grace and love? Love him. Love him. He's my firstborn. Hold on now. Jacob wasn't born first. Esau was. God said, he's my firstborn. Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him. Wait a minute. He had another son, Ishmael. God said, nope. Not my son. Son of promise is his son. Son of election is his son. All people aren't his sons. His chosen people are his sons. Our Lord said one time, those Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. See, if God were your father, you'd love me. But he's not. Well, he said, he's my firstborn. Israel's my firstborn. Yes. Every single child of God has to be born again. Born again. As many as received him, they did so because they were born of God. Jacob, Israel is my son. Why? Because I made him my son. He wasn't naturally my son. I made him my son. You see that? The world doesn't see that. God's people do. All God's people see that. As a child of wrath, even as others. Born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. Came forth from the womb speaking lies. Child of wrath, a rebel against God, a hater of God by nature. Didn't say it with my mouth, but my life illustrated. But God. Born of God. Thank God. My firstborn. Jacob didn't accept God. God accepted Jacob. Jacob didn't decide. God had already decided before he was born. Jacob was dead. God gave him life. God gave him my firstborn. Isn't Christ the firstborn of many brethren? Yes, he is. And as he is, so are we. Verse 23. He said, I say unto thee, let my son go that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son. This is what he told to tell Pharaoh. Let my son go. This is why Christ came, to let his people go, who are captives to the God of this world. Unless a stronger than he binds the strong man, takes his goods, they'll remain. We will remain in captive to Satan. And Christ came. Through his power and his word, he delivers us. Let my people go. And he said to him, to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh, you refuse and I'll slay your son, your firstborn. Now, this is what Moses was told to tell Pharaoh. I'm going to kill your son. God says, I'm going to kill your son. Buddy, that's the God of the Bible. That's how you go to this world and say, God kills. God makes alive. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? You don't go, God loves you so much. Go tell Pharaoh God loves you. That's a wonderful plan for your life, Pharaoh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Moses came in strength, came in power, came in authority, and said, God said, let my people go. If you don't, I'm going to kill your son. To the most powerful man on earth, he told this, this shepherd, this nobody from nowhere, said, God said he's going to kill your son. My buddy, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How many times did Moses go and warn Pharaoh? How many times did he tell him that? How many times? How many times does God have to warn mankind? How many times? How many sons has he taken? How many daughters? How many people Is the Lord slain, yet man? The wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Romans 1:18. Every day, day in, day out, the wrath of God, Father. Egypt doesn't see it that way. It's just a strange plague we're having right now. It'll go away. Let's find a vaccine, it'll go away. No, he'll send another one. It's God to kill. It's God to send. I would. Tell him this. Let my people go. Look at verses. I'm out of time. I'm going to deal with this later. It's too important. Okay? We'll deal with this next time. Begin with verse 24. Okay.